find your place in Proverbs chapter 3. That's where I'm going to be preaching for in just a few moments. Right after the service, at the end of the invitation, I have a note from Pastor to read to you all, and another thought to be able to share with us about the upcoming changes here regarding the pandemic. So please hang around. Just take just a couple of minutes right after the service. Proverbs chapter 3, once you find your place, if you will stand for the reading of the Word of God, and then I want you to join me as we pray together, and then I want you to listen. It won't be long, hopefully, and listen as I'm going to share from the Bible and from the heart the thought that I hope will help us all here during these times. Proverbs chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thine neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Our Father, we thank you so much for the special music we've had today. Thank you for every man, woman, and young person that you've led here at the Crossroads Baptist Church. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to gather together and worship thee. We thank you for this place. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing in the lives of your people. Bless our pastor and his wife and family today. I pray you'll use him as he preached this morning. And Lord, use him in a special way. Thank you for him. Give him strength. I pray you'll lift him up and use him in a special way. We love him. We miss him. I pray you'll take care of him while he's gone. Now, Father, I ask you to do what I always ask you to do when I preach. First of all, cleanse me of any sin. Then I need you to empty me of self this morning. Then fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. I pray that you might impact the lives of the people who've come today. Now, you have your own way in this service. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. Last Sunday, believe it or not, I turned 76 years of age. I know I don't look it. I tell my wife all the time, we're getting older. She says, we're already old. I'm glad you all believe me rather than her. I think I'm getting older at least. But I turned 76 years old. And I want to take a moment and thank our church family for the special gifts and calls and texts and all that took place to help us to be able to celebrate that wonderful day. Now, one of the things about being 76, and all of us can think about that, is that's a good life and live for a while, 76 years of age. A lot of things have happened. 46 coming this July, if the Lord should tarry and allow me to live. 46 of those years, I lived saved. First 30, I was lost. So if you would agree with me this morning, if you live 76 years on this earth, you learn some things. You've seen some things. I've been some places. I've done some things. That a lot of people sitting here probably have not done and maybe will never do. But that's something about living a life and getting a little bit older. I found out about this life, especially the last couple of years. It's almost like it's a jungle of the survival of the fittest. I mean, if you're going to survive the day, you've got to survive physically. You've got to survive spiritually. One day, it seems like we're soaring like an eagle. And the next day, it seems like you're running from a lion. It's all a part of life today. There are so many things that have happened this past 2 years that have changed the attitude and how we behave as God's people. There are more family problems. There are more ministry problems. There are more financial problems. There are even more physical problems. It seems to me, as every day I'm talking to someone, more pastors are struggling. More children are rebelling. More Christians are straying away. More families are even being dissolved. But you know what? In all that we face today, in all that we faced the last 2 years, I was reminded of something this week. The Christian life is still the best life in the world. If you're a child of God, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ today, we're not going to change what happens in the world. But thank God that we have a Savior who has changed us and helped us to be able to live in this world. This past week was a great week for me. You all don't know, my wife tells me all the time, and Pastor knows, I've got a lot of irons in the fire. And when you have a lot of irons in the fire, you're kind of waiting for them to get hot. Well, this week, several of them got hot. And I was just rejoicing all week long about the goodness of Almighty God and how He takes us in the world in which we live today, which are terrible times in a lot of ways. And it seems like His goodness is just running after us. And this week I kind of experienced in a lot of ways the goodness of Almighty God. It was just kind of just in my office and enjoying and talking to my wife about how good God is. And I got in bed and went to bed that night and was just rejoicing in how good God is. A blessing came through that never expected. Wasn't even praying about it. Just God just decided, I'm going to bless you and bless some others. So I went to bed just flying high, soaring like an eagle. By 5:30 Friday morning, I got my normal text that I get every week from Pastor. And then between 5 and 5:30, I'll get that text. And then I'll turn around and text him back a personal text. And then I'll read the devotional he'll send. Then I'll send that to 4 other people, and they send it to a lot of other people, and I send them a personal text, and I did that. And then I made a mistake. I looked at my phone, and I saw an email from a very familiar person. It was a good email. Didn't have anything in there that should have bothered me. There was just one phrase in there that caught my attention, so I got up and did what I do every day, go down to pray. And all of a sudden, when I started praying, the devil joined me. He starts telling me everything you thought about all week, all the goodness of God and all that He's done and all that's going on, it's all going to come crashing down on you. And for the next hour and a half trying to pray, and he was just joining me and telling me about all the bad things, and I'm trying to tell God about all the good things, and finally struggle through praying. It took a lot longer than the hour and a half that I normally pray. And then after talking to Pastor and talking to Michael, finally got back on track after several hours. And then God reminded me of something that I want to share with you today. And listen to me. He reminded me that if you're a child of God, you can live a good life in a bad situation. I mean, the world has always had bad situations, but God says, my children can live a good life in bad times. And he says, you of all people know that biblically, and you know that because you've been in a bunch of them. So I want to not spend a whole lot of time, because it would take me forever to tell you how many good things have happened in bad times for me. But I want to give you a biblical pattern. Wherever you are, one thing is for certain. We're living in bad times. And I personally don't think they're going to get any better until the trumpet sounds and gets us out of here. But if we're the children of God here, God says, I have prepared you to live a good life in bad times. And I've got a book that outlines it for you if you'll just follow it. So for a few moments, I want to talk about this subject, living a good life in bad times. One thing is consistent for all of us. We're living in bad times. One thing that is not consistent for all of us, we're not living a good life. And God says, I want you to live a good life in bad times. Some may think times are worse than others, but God says, wherever you are, you're living in bad times. But I want you to know, I have made it possible for you to live a good life in those bad times. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3 for just a moment. Solomon, who knew something about living a good life, and he also knew something about bad times. And he outlined here in this passage a biblical principle that will help every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in bad times to live a good life. Proverbs chapter 3, and he breaks it down into two verses, five quick principles that I want you to think about you. Think about the bad times you may be having in life, whether physical, whether financial, with a family, with a friendship, no matter what they may be bad times, but God says in those bad times, I have outlined in this blessed book how you can live a good life. In verse number 1, he said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now notice this. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The first principle for living a good life in bad times is keep his commandments. He said, my son, no matter what you go, here's something, don't forget. Don't forget my commandments. Keep my commandments. Don't let your life caused you to forget what I have given you in my word. You know what I was reminded of this week? I need to listen to this book. I need to learn more about this book. I need to love this book more. I need to live by this book. He's simply saying, my son, in every situation, in your bad times, let my word guide you, and don't you let anything cause you to forget my word. Keep my commandments. Now, how does that make life good? I'm glad you asked. He said, my book will do two things for you. My commandments in bad times will do two things for you. He said in verse number 2, for length of days and long life. He said, here's why you need to keep my commandments. Because they will lengthen your days. How many got up and exercised today? How many tried to eat right today? Let me tell you something. You want to make a person feel pretty good in this life? Have them get the idea they're going to live a while. You want to make a person feel bad today? Have them think about they're going to die soon. He said, you want to know something better than exercise? Better than just eating right? Better than just taking a pill? Try keeping my commandments and you'll live longer. Wow. If we put half as much time in learning and living and following his book as we do eating and exercising and going to the doctor and going to the gym, it might help us to live a little longer. He says, keep my commandments in bad times, no matter what's going on, and they'll lengthen your days. Not only will my word commandments lengthen your days, but they'll strengthen your days. He said, and peace shall they add to thee. You want the heart to settle down? You want not to go through the turmoil you're going through in life? Well, let me give you something that's going to help you. It's going to help you live a good life in bad times. He says, keep my commandments. Don't move away from them. Don't let circumstances change. Keep my commandments. They will strengthen your days and lengthen your days. And that'll make for a good life in bad times. So very important in the days in which we live, we make sure we keep his commandments. Hey, let me tell you something. We need God today. We need his guidance. We need his strength. We need his peace. We need his hope. We need his guidance. The wisest man that ever lived on the inspiration of God says, if you want to live a good life in bad times, keep my commandments. Do what I have told you to do, no matter how many darts fly, no matter what you go through in life, it'll help you to live a good life in bad times. Number two, in verses 3 and 4, he said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You want to live a good life in bad times? Keep his commandment. But number two, develop some character. Develop some character. He tells us here in these verses the products of good character. He mentions the word mercy, which is simply saying, learn how to be selfless. You want to know how to have a good life? Think about other people rather than thinking about yourself. He said, learn to live. Here's the products of good character. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others. He says, you want to live a good life? Keep my commandments, but develop some character. Learn to be selfless. If I can focus on other people rather than focusing on myself, it helps things to be a lot better in this terrible situation in which I live. He says the products of character begins with being selfless. Then he mentions the word truth, which is simply sincerity. Learn to be a man or woman or a boy or girl that says, in spite of bad times, I am going to think about other people, be selfless, and I'm going to be sincere and tell the truth in every situation I face. He said, these are the products we need today in this life. We need to be men and women on our jobs, in our families, wherever we go, whoever we talk to, in our church. We need to be selfless and sincerity, because that helps me to live a good life. And then he went on and talked about what selflessness and sincerity are, what truth and mercy will do for you. verse number 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If I learn to have character, to be selfless and sincere, here's what it promises me. It promised me, first of all, I will please God. You want to have a good life? Go to bed at night, get up in the morning, and say, what I have done is pleasing to Almighty God and also getting the praise of men. We do so many things today to try to win the approval and the praise of men. God says, stop trying to buy praise. Stop trying to get pat on the back. Just live with good character. Tell the truth. Care about other people. And God says, that'll please me, and you'll get praise from man. And you won't have to go about trying to manufacture things in life. Character. I don't know about you. I can take any kind of criticism, stand up to anything if I have to. But boy, I tell you something. I want my character to stand in the sight of God and what other people can see. You want to have a good life? Develop some character in a bad situation. Whatever you're tempted, whatever comes your way, whatever is happening, you just be a man or woman of character. And God says, that'll please me and it'll cause other people to praise you. Living a good life. I'm not talking about tolerating life. I'm not talking about getting by. I'm not talking about having to change everything I've stood for just to make it in these hard times. I'm talking about keeping his commandments and being a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that has character that pleases God and wins the praise of others. Number 3, verses 5 and 6. This is very important. This was included in my devotional I got from Pastor. I said, well, things are going well. He's texting me a devotion and it is point 3 in my message, so that'll work. Number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And notice this, he shall direct thy path. You want to live a good life? In bad times, keep his commandments. Develop some character. And number 3, have true confidence. True confidence. You know, these verses tell us several things about confidence. It says, first of all, I've got to learn in bad times to depend upon the Savior I claim to know. I was listening to Brother Stewart give a devotion yesterday in men's prayer meeting, and he was talking about sanding down his floors or putting on the floor in the house. He was talking about the Christian life, how it is. When you're doing floors, you've got to sand them down to take some things out, and then the weak spot, you got to put some things in to build them up. And then he mentioned strengthening the foundation, which means you've got to lean upon the Lord. You know what about the Christian life, especially for us as fundamental independent Baptist believers? We have so much Bible, so much preaching, so much teaching. Our head is full of all kinds of knowledge, but we have very little personal relationship with Jesus, which is the very foundation of Christianity. If all that we know up here was really put where it needs to be in the heart and develop a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it will make all the difference. But the way these verses are laid out, I need to depend upon the Savior, distrust self, all the ways of a man are clean in its own eyes. What we tend to do about what we think is not always what it takes to live a good life. It's not about what I think. It's about what he knows. So I need to depend upon the Savior. Distrust self. Verse 6, desire the Lord, and then he will direct my path. In order to make it in this life, I need someone to direct my path, not what I think or what I come up with. Living a good life in bad times means I got to keep his commandments. If you're letting your circumstance cause you to go contrary to what God has told you to do, you're miserable in this life. If you have allowed yourself to damage your character because of the pressures of this life, then you're living miserable as a Christian. If we're going through this life trusting in self rather than leaning upon the Savior, then our paths are not being directed by him, because I have to desire him in order for him to direct my path. Have true confidence. True confidence is leaning upon the Savior, not trusting self, desiring his will, and let him direct my path. I'm talking about living a good life, not just getting by, living a good life in bad situations, which all of us are facing every day of our lives. Keep his commandments. Develop some character. It'll please God, and you'll get the praise from other people. Have some true confidence. Depend upon the Savior. Distrust self. Desire him. And let him direct our path. It'll help us to live a good life in a bad situation. Number 4, verses 8 and 9. He said, 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. How do you live a good life? In bad times, keep his commandments. Develop some character. Have true confidence. And then number 4, avoid being conceited. Avoid being conceited. You know, I've been saved almost 46 years. I know a lot of Bible, preached a lot of Bible, memorized a lot of Bible, taught a lot of Bible. And you get all of this Bible in you. If you're not careful, you start looking around at other people and you start saying, you know, I'm a 46-year-old Christian or a 29-year-old Christian or a 15-year-old Christian, and I know some things in life. And you get conceited. To live a good life in bad times, God wants us to have some humility, to humble ourselves. And look at the pattern it says in here. It says, if you want to have a good life, verse 7, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Have some humility. And that humility will cause you to have some holiness. And he says here in verse 7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And what he's saying, simply saying here, he's saying you need to live a life in which you learn the importance. The idea here is that if I'm humble, it will lead me to fear the Lord to make me holy. And if I fear the Lord because of my humility and become holy, then verse 8, I'll be healthy. The whole idea is learning how to be healthy. Start with humility. Let that humility cause us to fear the Lord, which will drive us to depart from evil. If I'm humble, I fear the Lord, I will depart from evil. If I depart from evil, guess what? I'll be healthy. Oh, we need healthy Christians in the world in which we live today. Because why? We're in bad times, but the child of God ought to know how to live a good life in bad times. All right, so we see this pattern. It starts with keep my commandments. You can't be happy. You can't have a good life in a bad situation unless we keep his commandments. Every decision I make needs to be according to the word of God. If I do that, I'll develop some character, some real character. Well, I will be selfless, insincere. Other people will see that. And God says that will please me, bring you praise from other people. Then he says, then learn to have true confidence. Depend upon the Savior. Distrust self. Desire him, and he'll direct your path. And then he says, no matter how much Bible you've learned, no matter what church you're a part of, no matter where you have reached in life, don't be conceited. Don't be conceited. Humble yourself. Become holy. That'll make you healthy. Now, those four things we say, boy, that's okay. But number five is where a lot of Christian people are today. Yes, I'll keep the commandments. I try to do that every day. I want to have some character. I want to be selfless and sincere. I want to come to the point in my life where I have true confidence. I'm going to distrust self, depend upon the Lord. I'm going to desire him that he might direct my path. And I'm going to avoid being conceited. Just because I've been saved a while, I want to humble myself. I want to become holy, and I want to become healthy spiritually. But then number five, he says, honor the Lord with thy capital. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. You know what he's simply saying here? It's impossible as a Christian to live a good life in bad times unless we honor the Lord with our capital. It simply means learn how to give properly if you ever expect to be blessed with prosperity. There are a lot of Christians today that are unhappy in bad times because circumstances have caused us to not give to God properly. And therefore, we're trying everything in the world to find prosperity. God says, I've given you a way to do that. Learn to give properly. Pay your tithes. Give your offerings. Give to missions. God owns everything. God owns us. If I learn to do that, in bad times, and we've had some bad times these last 2 years, God says, bad times don't matter with me for my child, because I put you in a world where if you do what I tell you to do, give properly, and I will be the one who bring about prosperity. Last week I was having lunch out in Fairfax with my spiritual father. I walked into the restaurant. I got there early. Of course, his name's Garrett Hasifluk. He led me to the Lord July 22nd, 1976. He was the deacon of the church. Was the first man he'd ever led to the Lord. And we have been friends over the years, and we're both getting a little older. Decide once a month or so we're going to get together. We were sitting back, and we were talking about the old days, and he was a deacon of the church and the treasurer, and he was telling me how God has blessed him over the years and where they live now and all the monetary things that God had brought about in this life. And then he was reminding me, he says, Lou, you remember when you're in a church 3 weeks after you got saved, he says, you start giving. You start paying your tithes and giving your offerings. And over the years, if I don't have time and won't take the time because I don't want to brag, but I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing that I learned as a 3-week-old Christian, to honor the Lord financially, because when there are hard times, if you keep those principles, God will bless you financially. And I know why the devil came after me last Friday morning, because in my mind, I'm rehearsing all the tough times and all the times that God has honored. And I can't attribute it to being as spiritual as I want to be, as desirous of the Lord as I want to be. But one thing I can be consistent about is 3 weeks after I got saved, I've never one time robbed God. And there have been some difficult times personally and for our church. But in those tough times, because we've honored the Lord with our giving, whether paying tithes, giving offerings, or honoring missionaries around the world, which we've endeavored to do as a church, in tough times, including what we've gone through the last 2 years in this pandemic, God has allowed us to have a good life in bad times. May God help us to take our eyes off our circumstances and put our eyes and heart on this book. He says, yes, there are bad times, but I'm still a good God, and my goodness is running after you, but I want you to keep my commandments. I want you to have some character. I want you to have true confidence. Don't be conceited. Honor me with your capital. And I promise you, in bad times, I've made it possible that you can live a good life. Let's bow our heads just a moment.